of God, Abba, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is better to die for an idea that lives than to live for ideas that die. So said Stephen Biko, founder of the Black Consciousness Movement during the days of apartheid. He understood. He spoke so eloquently that the chains of oppression are here. They're in our minds. And what oppressors always want to do is to control the minds. And in apartheid South Africa, that meant that black people were meant to see themselves through the eyes of white people. You see, black friends, you're nobody. You account for nothing. You are inferior. You were born to be a slave. You don't matter. You're weak. You're helpless. Give up now. And once you've done that to a human being, they become very submissive. Oh, angry and filled with hate, sure, but submissive to power. Do you ever think we get those kinds of messages in our society? Or is it only other people on the planet? Can we recognize them when they are brow beating us down? Why are we so weary and tired? Haven't we got it all? And we know the gap, don't we? That's what this is all about this morning. All kinds of gaps right here. Our friend Chano Farisani was a member of the inner circle of Biko's Black Consciousness Movement. Get that, okay? He was on the inside of that circle, and he began to take this insight and wisdom into theology and its study, into church and practice, into worship and prayer, and especially into partnership. Because he knew we need to be as liberated as the people in South Africa. We need to be set free. Mogapa was a little village in South Africa back in the day, which was being destroyed by the apartheid government for no reason. No reason. Bulldozer just simply come in, taken down half the homes, the community center, and the school. Gone. And the next day, they're going to destroy the rest of the village. So the villagers gathered that night for prayer. All night prayer. They had nothing else but prayer. Because the next day they were going to be scattered. They knew not where. Imagine never seeing any of our friends here again. For no reason at all. And deep into the prayer, after midnight, one of the elders stood up and said, God, thank you for loving us so much. For loving us. So much. You see, that old man and Biko and Chano for praying and acting and living in the spirit of Isaiah, who said, "Have you not heard? Has it not registered who our God is? The one whose wisdom is beyond all fathoming." The Holy One looks down at the princes of the earth, sees mere nothings, looks at those rulers of power and might, and knows they are mere emptiness. They, like the peoples of the earth, scatter about like grasshoppers, hopping this way and that, flailing away, not knowing where they're going. Do not fear those who kill the body. Fear those who kill the body and the soul. That's who's dangerous. Who's doing that to us? For God has come to set us free here and now, not the afterlife. Come to set us free. The powers over us have been broken. That's what the gospel's about. The powers which seek to control and dominate and oppress our lives and our friends, those powers have been broken. Now, are there consequences? Oh, you better believe there are consequences. That's what the world is always trying to tell us. Stand back. Don't get involved. Be cool, but do nothing. Don't live your own lives. Don't claim who you are. Don't think you are somebody. Just stay low and off the radar and get by. Can I get an amen? Lower, lower, disappear. The important ones, don't act up, not you. The heart of our faith is to set us free, free to live the lives we've been given as whole people in community. It is better to die for ideas, for grace, for gospel that live, than for us to live for ideas that die. The power over Stephen Biko was broken. The chains of oppression, broken. But when the day came that he was arrested, thrown in jail, kept naked and chained to the wall, tormented and tortured, and eventually the government said he caused his own brain damage. Mercy. So then he rotted in his jail for 5 days, naked, chained to the wall, without medical help. And then they decided, we'll take him to the hospital. They put him in the back of a van, furniture removed, of course, naked, chained to the van. Not the local hospital, 750 miles away in Pretoria. Oh, I guess he was dead on arrival. This is how fearful the princes of this world are, terrified by one being telling the truth. These are the odds. Terrified. That old man in Magapa, he lost his village. And the prophet Isaiah, like all good prophets, was killed. Powers over us. The powers of sin and evil and death
have been broken.
That's what the crucified Christ and that resurrecting compassion is all about. It has broken those powers, but the cost remains heavy, doesn't it? A crucified Christ, a crucified path of love before us. The powers over Gandhi were broken. The British, the greatest empire on the planet, voluntarily walked out. He knew the people of India were free. He made it happen and paid the price. Martin Luther King set people free. And he told us, all wars are games of profit for the powerful. We don't want to hear it. He paid the price, made it to the mountaintop, but not the promised land. James Baldwin, he could see through the ignorance and the arrogance of white supremacy. Do you know that he never hated white people? Because the first person to awaken his heart and mind was a white woman at the library. I think you'd like this book. You should. Have you read this book? You see, the gap was closed. His heart was touched. He could never bring himself to hate white people. How close we are, can be. And the powers over us have been broken as well. This is what we're celebrating in baptism, friends. It's not a naming ritual that we immerse even our children and elders into the death of Christ and that resurrecting love. It's our first death, celebrating that the power of sin, death, and evil has been broken. Now, how shall we live our lives? How shall we mature into becoming creative beings? Do you reject the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the people and creatures of God? Yes, we do. With God's help. At every baptism we say that. So that, with mutual encouragement, we enter the energy which creates new life, community, beauty, truth-telling, compassion. It's what we need. It's what the world needs. Have you not heard? Do you not know the vastness of God's wisdom for us? The whole cosmos given us without asking? Oh, I forgot. We're tired. If you'd only known what my last week was like. We are so weary. Arlene, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And we are. Some with good cause. But God does not grow weary. Young people stumble and fall. Have you ever noticed that? And they get older, and they too get weary. But not God. God is always there for us to keep setting us free, to keep breaking those powers, to open our hearts to the new possibilities of who we are becoming not even with big agendas, to live the love that we've been given. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke. The yoke of freedom, because it's easy. Pick up my burden, the burden of compassion, because it is light. Mother Pollard was an elder in the community of Montgomery, Alabama, senior member of the church, and she, like everyone else, was participating in the Montgomery bus boycott all those years ago. Elderly woman. For weeks and months, she'd been walking because those buses were a symbol of oppression and nobody was getting on them. And here she is, poverty stricken, and by our standards, uneducated. A true nobody on the planet. But she understood what was happening. And a reporter came to her one day after the boycott had been going on for months and asked, Mother Pollard, aren't you tired of walking everywhere? And she said, my feet is tired, but my soul is rested. God, thank you for loving us so much. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.